whatever happening surrounding, it automatically gets connected to that. And that's why we see when a child is born in an environment, you see the language, we call it mother tongue. Why you call it mother tongue? Child start learning the language while in the mother's womb. The way the mother start thinking, the mother tongue is a language of mother, which mother thinks and mother speaks. And what is surrounding, it gets picked up. So as a human being, we start receiving this information at an early stage in our life. Early stage of our life. Based on this information, that is our worldview and perception. That's how we're going to view, that's how we're going to navigate, that's how who we are and what we think about it. So you can find a person maybe living in the same neighborhood but with a two different perspective of life. It's based on the information what they receive, based on the environment and the friends whoever they are surrounded with. So when it comes to having this perspective, is very, very important. The source, from where do we get this information? The source. We are living in an era where there is no shortcomings. You know, nobody can say we don't get any information. This is the era of information. Somewhere in the world, whatever is happening, you can be in another part of the world and you can still receive. You have enough of information. But what is the problem that we face now? There was a time we used to get very limited information. We don't know what is happening in our neighboring village. We don't know what is happening in our next country, you know, whatever it is. We had limited information. But now we have excess of information. Excess. The problem that we are facing, the credibility of the information that we receive. The credibility of information that we receive, and there is lots of misinformation, disinformation, and there are a lot of deep fake. You know what's the difference between misinformation and disinformation and deep fake? Deep fake is they engineer a fake. They plan, they do a fake story, and then they spread it out. It's the foundation is falsehood. It's called deep fake. What is disinformation? Is information is being distorted. Incident is correct. It is distorted and presented in another perspective. And what is misinformation? Is the right information reaches you, but you take it in another way. You know? So, as a human being, key for our decisions, what we make day to day, our life. Now, for example, I'll take a basic example, how our emotion works. And I'm coming back to Revelation. So, today's topic is our relationship with Revelation. Our relationship with Wahi, divine revelation. This is the topic. So we're going to go back there. I'll try my best. You're calling home. This is just a scenario. Just imagine this. You're calling home and nobody's picking the phone at home. You don't know what is happening. You panic. You're thinking, what's going on? Right? Now you approach your house. Someone comes and says, you know, your household people, they're not well, or something has happened. You get some information on your way. And then you attend for it. when you get some information, in one way you are satisfied, in another way you build your emotion based on that. You're not going to get angry with it. Now you don't receive any information. You enter the house. You see everybody smiling and laughing and waiting. What happens to you? You get angry. This is the normal reaction of a human being. You get angry. Hey, what's wrong, man? I've been calling so long. Why can't you pick up your phone? Why can't you do that? When they justify, you say, okay, this is what happened. You know, we didn't hear the phone, or the phone is disconnected. Some justification come. It convincing you. You calm down. So our reactions are based on information, and the level of information and how convincing it is, based on that we respond it differently. A brother comes to you. You don't know that brother cannot hear. He has a hearing problem. You're talking to him, he's not responding properly. You get angry. Say, what's wrong with you? You're disrespecting me? Same time, if you're informed this brother has something wrong with his hearing, you're going to sympathize or empathize. Say, oh, nothing worry. You go close and you try to do it, because you have information. Another brother walks in, is mentally not stable. You don't know about it. He comes at you, he swear at you. What will happen? Get angry. Maybe you're going to react and you're going to scream maybe louder than that. But if you know the brother is not mentally stable, you will tap his back and you make dua for him and you walk. You're not going to get angry. This is our reactions. My dear brothers, you know what the divine revelation does to us? Understand. It gives us a better perspective and sufficient information how to respond to a situation that we are facing. Did you get that? Hope you got that. The divine revelation, what it does, like you see, if you're informed person, you are calm. Something chaotic happening, everybody's rushing. And you receive a message saying, oh, there is a minor accident in this location you're reading. Everybody's rushing, you're calm. So, oh, this is just a minor accident. Because you have received information. You know what is happening. You're not going to panic. Nothing going to happen to you. You know well what is happening. You're an informed person. Quran, the revelation, our relationship with our Creator, Lord Almighty. The revelation is that this gives us this perspective in our life. It is from the beginning of the creation till end. The divine revelation is past, present, and future. Only thing is, unfortunately, we do not access that information. There is a past history, and it gives us perspective. Every single thing that is happening in our personal life, every single thing that is happening in our family life, and every single thing that is happening for our community, and every single thing which is happening for the entire nation and humanity, this has already occurred before. Remember that. Already has occurred. You know, we see genocide taking place. Suratul Buruj, Allah speaks about similar genocides. Suratul Buruj, Allah speaks about it. One whole village were burned alive by a cruel king. It's not easy for us to digest it, but it has happened. We see millions of thousands of children have been killed, innocent children. Quran speaks about how many children Fir'aun killed. I'm not saying we need to, you know, look, take it simply, but I'm saying this has happened. And if we are informed this what happened, and we have been informed what is the end result for the tyrant, oppressor, Quran speaks about that also. So it will be difficult, but we will be calm. We know, oh, that guy is, his direction is towards destruction. That's where it's happening. What happened to Fir'aun, what happened to Qarun, what happened to Haman is going to happen to them. That's it. But we need to be patient. We need to see how we're going to navigate this situation. So Quran gives us the past perspective for the entire human history. And it addresses our present situation. There are verses which addresses us what we're supposed to do now in our present life. And then there are verses in the Quran what will happen, occur in future. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ speaks about Day of Qiyamah. All this happened. And my dear respected brothers, and our relationship, Alhamdulillah, summa Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a little bit of access for the Quran. All of us, majority, in the maktab, everywhere, what happened? We begin with the Quran. Abata. We begin with it. Our childhood, we begin with the Quran, relationship of Tilawatul Quran. But we do not continue. There is no consistency when it comes to our relationship with the Quran. There is no consistency. Our entire life has to be connected with the Quran from birth to death. We need to have a very close relationship with the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we do have one perspective of relationship, that is recitation of the Quran. Tilawatul Quran is one of the very important fact. It gives us lots of barakah, blessings. It comes, you know, there is a saying, there is a verse in the Quran, Inna Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. The Quran which is read in the time of Fajr is being witnessed. Under that tafsir, one of my ustad who was teaching me, you know, tafsir, he said a very beautiful, you know, explanation for it. You see, all angels, when it comes to angels, they do not know Quran. Allah has created angels for specific purpose. Only for those angels that Allah taught Quran, they know. That's why angels say, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Glory be to you, Ya Allah. La ilma lana. We do not have knowledge illa ma 'allamtana, except for those that knowledge that you have taught us. Jibreel alayhi salam knows it. And only specific group of angels. And we know angels has a shift in the morning and evening, they keep changing. So when the angels listen to the Quran, they learn and they witness that Quran. They learn it from us. So my teacher used to say, when you read more Quran, the time of Tahajjud and Fajr, there's a special angels who come down. They're going to be bearing witness in Day of Qiyamah, and they're going to be your student, because they never learn that except from you. So recitation of the Quran is a very important fact in our life. And one of the du'as that we make with regard to the Quran after Khatmul Quran, or once we finish reading, Allahumma anis wahshati fi qabri. Wallah, make this Quran my companion in my qabr. Allahu Akbar. For the Quran to be our companion in the qabr, we need to make the Quran our companion in this life. and it begins with the recitation of the Quran. Reading is a very important fact. No one can undermine this. Understand that. Sometime we say, okay, no, tilawa is not so important, understanding is important. No, tilawa is a basic requirement. It is very, very important. It gives us a spiritual upliftment. You know, reading the Quran and listening to the Quran, it's very, very important. فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allahu Akbar. When you listen to it, when the Quran is read, you have to keep quiet and you need to be very attentive, not just استمعوا له, attentive, لعلكم ترحمون, you may be what? Get the blessing, rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reading is blessing, listening is blessing, everything which is connected to the Quran is blessing. So that's the basic. Recitation of the Quran is basic and fundamental and foundation. We cannot compromise that, and every single day we need to have a portion of the Quran that we keep reading it. We go on. That companionship is very, very important. It brings so much of blessing to our life. May Allah make all of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our houses, you know, blessed, you know, filled with the Quran, recitation of the Quran, inshallah. You know, yesterday a brother was telling me about, you know, Maulana Shabir and his family and how many huffaz are there in the family. I said, you know, that moment it came to my mind, you know, the more we have Quran amongst our sisters, remember, our sisters, they are the mothers of this ummah. They need to have a better relationship with the Quran day and night, so that becomes the DNA of our children. DNA of a children, you know. You ask, there's so many scientific research with regard to DNA, with regard to genetic studies, right? Based on the environment, based on where they are, based on where, you know, whom they associate, it changes. Genes and genetics keep changing. DNA doesn't change, but the genes and the genetics keep changing based on the environment. There's so much of studies. So the Quran, the environment of Quran, it has to become part of the DNA of this ummah. Every child born into our house must come with that portion of that gene, the genetics of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that, my dear brother. So after recitation of the Quran, this very, very important point is that understanding and building an emotional and an intellectual relationship with the Quran. Sometimes we read the Quran, but our emotional relationship is not there much. Not there much. Once I happened to go to Umrah, I saw an African brother. You know, people stay long waiting for Salah when you go in Mataf because Saf and all that. This brother is reading Quran, he's crying. He's kissing the Quran, he's closing down, going sujood. His entire emotional, you know, way of his doing it was so amazing. It's almost about 1.5 hours this was going on, reading and everything. After everything over, I spoke to the brother. I asked, you know, brother, is everything okay? I thought something wrong with him. May Allah make everything easy for you. The brother said, no, nothing wrong. You see, Quran is my everything. Whenever I have a problem, I pray to rakats, I start reading the Quran, I open, the first words I cite and I read will be the answer for my problem. Allahu Akbar. It gives me the perspective. First ayah. So I don't know how to thank Allah for this revelation. I don't know how much, you know, this is the emotional relationship with this book. It's very important. That relationship, because we having this relationship, our ruh, our soul will only be content. Remember, our body is content with the worldly things, the food and all that, what is from this earth. Our body is happy with whatever from this earth, because this body is created from this earth. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum. This body was created from the earth. So body is very happy with something which is from earth. Right? But the soul is not part of this earth. Soul is from Allah. Yas'alunaka 'anil ruh. Yas'alunaka 'anil ruh. Qul ar-ruhu min amri rabbi. They came and asked Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the ruh, about the soul, about the life. Soul, it says qul ar-ruhu min amri rabbi. Tell them it is Allah's command. That means it is from Allah. That why we say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We belong to Allah and we go back. So this soul is only going to be content which come whatever which comes from Allah. And the kalamullah, the Quran, the revelation is direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only thing that we have it in this amongst us, which is not makhluk, which is not a creation, according to our belief, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of all majority, all the scholars, unanimously, there's no between Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah different opinion on that. This is Quran is kalamullah, speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a makhluk, it is part of Allah. So this ruh is only going to be content with that. So the relationship with the Quran is very crucial. Very crucial. Now, in order to have a better understanding of the Quran, I actually explained to you about Tilawatul Quran. There is no compromise about it. Every one of us, from the time we know to read it, we start reading it. So don't undermine that aside. But then we need to go to the next level. Build a better relationship. We are growing. You know, we cannot be same level. Just imagine, your same level after standard 12, you're still preschool. Will you accept that? Are you going to be happy about it? No. The more you grow, the grow your information, then understanding start growing and you have a better understanding. And you reach 40, if you're still acting like 4 years, it's a problem. You reach a maturity. Now you need to have well-informed and grown complete man. Or woman, you're 40 years old. You cannot be acting like a child or teenager. So because that maturity comes with experience, with information that you receive and you have reached there. Similarly, our journey with Quran has to be like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only revelation, only book which was revealed to humanity, which reveals stage by stage, is Quran. It was not revealed at once. It was revealed 23 years of period. 23 years. Quranic years. That is the entire prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah integrated the Quran and the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam together. You cannot separate that. It is integrated. You cannot understand the seerah, the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you don't understand Quran. You cannot understand the Quran if you don't understand the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is integrated. And Quran very clearly explains لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُمْ. Allah Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, in order to explain, in order to, you know, clearly explain and elaborate مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, what was revealed to him. And وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, when he explains to them, those people become people of who think and ponder. We start thinking and pondering because the information that we receive is such a high form of information. You're not finding here and there. If you a person who understand the Quran, you're the most intelligent person in this earth. Most intelligent person. If you can have a very good relationship, because so much of high standard, you know, verified and consistent information. There is, you will never find contradiction from one verse to another verse. You never find that. It's verified and it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is integrated. So life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seerah, and the Quran is part of it. And normally I tell everyone, people who don't understand the seerah, they will misunderstand the Quran and they will try to do something which is wrong and completely against the Quran and Sunnah and the understanding of our fuqahas. Because seerah is very important, integral part of it. And it was all about life. I'll just take an example. I think I spoke more than 30 minutes. Do I have time? 45 minutes. Okay. Sorry. Oh, if you guys getting bored, you can say, you know, stop. You stop there. Inshallah. You see, Surah Yusuf. I'll just give example. You know, I'm just giving you just bit here and there. I'm trying to share. You know, the Imam was saying, you know, I'm a student of Quran. I'm a student on this journey because we are still learning. We are learning. There are so many to learn. We're still going. Nobody expert. No one is expert. We are still learning in the mission of that. May Allah grant me and all of you that better understanding and better relationship with the Quran, inshallah. Surah Yusuf is a beautiful surah. That's the only surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one prophet's story completely. If you take Musa alayhi salam, you find bit. Ibrahim alayhi salam, bit. Adam alayhi salam, bit. Only Yusuf alayhi salam story, and Allah refers that as Ahsan al-Qasas. The most beautiful. أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن. In this Quran, from the so many stories, there are beautiful stories, but this is أحسن means the most beautiful stories. You know, exaggeration to the high level, saying that, you know, expression to the high level, saying the most beautiful story. Do anyone knows when this surah was revealed? Any one of you? I know ulamas will know. I don't want the ulamas to answer. So I get the audience a little bit more if I ask the questions. So your attention. When was this surah revealed? When in the context of 23 years of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, he lived about 13 years in Makkah, 10 years in Medina. So first, second, third, fourth, you know, which year do you think? Not ulamas, huh? Anyone else? Any guessing? Okay, I'll give you more clue. This surah speaks about the betrayal of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. What the brothers did, they actually took him out of his own city, own household, and threw him out. Threw him out, right? He was sent out in his young age itself. Betrayal. Not given protection, nothing. And then these brothers wanted to be with their parents, and Yusuf alayhi salam went through different stages, and then eventually he becomes what? Some say he became the king, but you know, if you look at the context of it, he became the in charge of the treasury, right? And then eventually brothers come back to him and he forgives them. This is the basics, you know, I'm just going through, and this is the basic. When do you think? Now I gave you more context for it. When do you think it was revealed? Okay. Was it revealed before Hijrah or after Hijrah? So just a guess there. Before or after? How many of you say after? Okay. How many of you say before? Inshallah. No, I would just want to keep you engaged. That's the reason I asked. I'll come back to it. You know, Surah Yusuf was preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Hijrah. Surah Yusuf, this is the thing. There are words in the Quran which is spoken. There's a message in the Quran which is spoken, and there are message in the Quran which is unspoken. And ulamas will know, they call mantuq and mafhum. There's certain things we're supposed to understand, but it's not been said explicitly. Certain thing very clearly has been said. Very clearly. What happened? The context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. They chased him out. He went back. Right? Similarly, your people, your own family is not going to give you protection. You're going to be driven out. But remember, Allah is giving hope. You're going to come back. You're going to come back. Allah gave the glad tiding about victory of Makkah in Surah Yusuf. And then, you know, I'm telling you, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned this lesson very well. Because in the time of victory of Makkah, you know what he told to his people of Makkah, his family members? He said, I'm going to tell you the same thing what Yusuf alayhi salam told his brothers. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. I'm not going to take revenge. I'm going to forgive you. Allah taught him, this is what will happen and this is how you have to, what? This is how you have to respond to it. So Allah did not just mention the story for the time pass. In the Quran, nothing is just time pass. You know, you try to put the children to sleep, so you tell stories. No. It's not, no stories is just to put you to sleep. All these stories, all these incidents, these biographies Allah mentioned in the Quran, it is the things. Allahu Akbar. You know, when you go through what Yusuf alayhi salam went through, he had to go to the jails. How much of one after other, one after other, one after other. He's not seeing the light and, you know, end of the tunnel. He was not seeing it. But he had this faith because his dream. He had a dream, right? Everything started with the dream. Then the brothers became jealous. All that. Father said, don't inform this dream to your brothers. All this story. And in the end, when he met his father, what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَاهِ قَدْ جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ Allahu Akbar. When he seated up there, he said, no. Oh father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَاهِ This is the interpretation of my dream. قَدْ جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ And Allah have made that come through. How many years? You know the problem that we have in this life. We are not informed. We do not know. If you know the entire episode, you know, for example, a child is growing, child doesn't know what is happening, he starts panicking. But as a parents, we are very calm. Because we know this is childhood. This is a passing thing, you know, we all have gone through. So we are calm, but the child is panicking. Because child is not, that is the first experience for the child. Right? Teenagers, and normally I talk to teenagers, when they start growing 13, 14, they start feeling, you know, attraction towards the opposite gender. Some reacts, ooh, something, they feel like it's, you know, they're in a different world. Right? They feel it. After time passes, they overcome that and they look at it, oh, when they look at the other youngsters reacting for it, they say, okay, it's just passing cloud. It's a passing cloud. Because we have experienced and informed. So we're going to be calm. The problem as a human being, one is that we are not informed. We do not have a good relationship with the Quran. We have not understood the life. So anything happens, we panic. We panic. And then number two, we are not patient. Insan, Allah says in the Quran, we are not patient. We just want things to happen soon. Yusuf alayhi salam dreamt in his childhood. After how many years? The year is not really explicitly mentioned in the Quran, but ulama says it is more than 30 years. So he has to wait how many years? 30 years patient. Just the dream to come true, minimum, for a longer period. Longer period. If we, people, what happened is, people have, they want to achieve something, dream. And this is a good message for youngsters. You're not patient, and if you're not patient, and if you're not consistent, what happened? You're not going to get anywhere. You say you go within 2 years, you want to achieve something, you're not getting it, disappoint, you feel, change your field, you try there, you change your field, you're not going to get anywhere. If you want to get somewhere to the destination, you need to make a proper decision and say, okay, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to work on it. One day, I'll achieve that. It's good or bad, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. So in Quran, this is a very important point, I'm trying to bring it here, is that our relationship with the Quran and understanding the Quran is very, very important of understanding the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Similarly, the sixth year, 23 years of Prophet's life, prophethood. So 23 years of revelation. So I'm going to divide these 23 years. Normally I refer that with my reading and understanding, Quranic years. We have Hijri, first, second, third, prophethood. I actually go through the seerah and with the Quran, and many scholars, I have seen some modern scholars also go through with the Quranic years. First year of revelation, second years of revelation, third year. Because every time the community, individually Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah is maturing. Right? Because more information, more information, more information. And it's going on, going on, going on. And every time they were given prior information. You know what happened in a Badr? If you know the incident of Badr, I'm just going to cut it short. Prophet didn't say, we are going for a battle. No. It was not a battle. It was a plan. Why? Abu Sufyan, at that time, who was not a Muslim, radiallahu anhu, his caravan was passing by. He wanted to block and take the wealth which belongs to the Muslim. That's it. So you don't need a big army. You just need enough number just to go and block it and take it. When Prophet went there, Allah commanded, now you're not going back. The army of Abu Jahl and Quraysh is coming. You need to say and face. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was panicking. Because of two reasons. He knew the past history. What happened to the people of Musa alayhi salam. And those moments, many times, Bani Israel, you know what they said to Musa alayhi salam? Anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun. You and your Lord go and face the battle, we will be spectators. You know, it's spectators seeing, oh, when a heat clapping, when wind, we spectators. Inna hahuna qa'idun, we will be seated, we're not going to play the match. We'll be spectators. You know, it's easy to be spectator and commentators. Allah doesn't want us to be a spectator or commentator in life. You see, if commentary, guy, he will be a good commentator. He will say, this is what you have to do, this how you, you know, Sri Lanka, India, we all know cricket, right? How the commentary, very nice. He will sell all explanation. But if you give him the bat and tell him to go and bat, he won't do it. He can't do it. Guy, he knows to comment. And then even spectators, we are way, but we are not going to be part of the victory. Win or lose, you do that, you're not part of it. You play the game, whether you win or lose, you are rewarded. You have to be part of the team. Remember, you cannot be expected. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a little worried, because how will the sahabas respond? It was a very panicking situation. Allahu Akbar. The lesson which is taught, a sahabi came and he stood. I don't remember the exact name. I think I can't remember the name of the sahabi. If I come, you know, come across, I'll say. He stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we will not say what the people of Musa alayhi salam told them. We're going to stand in front of you, behind you, next to you, right and left. If you tell us to jump, go above, anything, we will do it. Allahu Akbar. And the seerah says, sallallahu alayhi salam, face lit up so bright. And he said, okay. Where did they learn this lesson? From Quran. They prepared. Allah prepared themselves. So the sixth year of revelation. Okay, 23 years. The sixth year of revelation is very important year. It's a very significant year. I will conclude with that. Sixth year is the year when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu became Muslim. Sixth year where Hamza radiallahu anhu became Muslim. Sixth year, you see every household, In Quraysh, they had 14 tribes. Quraysh is a big clan, and that there is 14 major tribes. This small 14 major ones. In all these 14 tribes, there were men and women, and especially young ones, they were Muslims, allies with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 6th year was a very crucial year. Now the what do you call acceptance amongst the Quraysh, amongst the Makkan, is gaining. And that year only Suratul Kahf was revealed, majority part of Suratul Kahf. Now they wanted to make more argument, because people, young ones, start thinking intellectually. The Quraysh went to Jews and they asked questions, from your revelation what do you have? We want to prove him wrong, he's not getting any revelation. And Allah tested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that year was a very crucial, Suratul Duha was revealed there. There was a period of revelation was stopped. Allahu Akbar. You know what happened? They came and asked few questions. They came about Ruh, Ashabul Kahf. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought, okay, every day Jibreel alaihi salam comes and goes, I'll ask him and I'll tell you all. He said, come tomorrow, I'll inform you. He had so much of confidence. Now 6 years of experience with Jibreel alayhi salam, right? Communication, coming, going. Every day, evening, night, this is happening. Very confidently, without saying, Inshallah. Allah taught him a lesson. Now what happened? 1 day passed, 2 days passed. Some say 17 days, some say 1 month. It's different, but quite a longer period. You know, now the message, just imagine the situation of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, emotional situation. They said, okay, you know, the shaitan used to come, the evil spirit, now I have left him. Whoever he calls as his Lord, have left him. That's what Allah revealed. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qada. Allah never let Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam down. So it was a period of preparation, and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam start missing the revelation. There was an emotional bond. Allah taught him a lesson. You know, this is not something that you do for your happiness and fun. This is, you need to always connect. This is from Allah. And all these verses, and one important lesson about the people of cave, young ones. You know why Allah mentioned about that young ones? See this, Allahu Akbar. There was a lot of youngsters in Makkah now. They were going through difficulty. Some of them were house arrest. Because they know they can't go and meet. All this is happening. Allah motivate those youngsters, say, don't worry, I will preserve you all as long as you have iman, the way I preserve the Ashabul Kahf. Allahu Akbar. You see the indirect message. Allah is telling about Ashabul Kahf. How many years? More than 300 years. Allahu Akbar. Allah protected them against the whole world, the king, the rulers, the superpowers were against them. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, lot of young ones. And in that period only the hijrah to Abyssinia also takes place, after the 4th year of the revelation, 4th and 5th year. And you know, this is the period. Some came back and some went to Abyssinia. And majority who went to Abyssinia, they are not really slave and low ones. They are from a good tribes, because they had so much of pressure. So Prophet wanted them to just stay away from a pressure. Whoever could, they went. Others remained. So this year, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, until the sixth year, we were hiding and only praying. After Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an and Hamza radiallahu an became Muslim, we used to pray publicly. So they were like, you know, coming out and talking about it. You see, when we go through the seerah, the life of Sahaba, life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Quran together, it makes more understand, it will make more meaning for us, give a better perspective. And we can actually apply those things in our life. See that how we go about. So learning and having a relationship with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with a relationship with the revelation, because you cannot separate that. The life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of the revelation. That's why you say we cannot divide the Quran and Sunnah, cannot separate it, it's part of it. So our relationship with revelation, divine revelation, means our relationship with the Quran and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's very, very important that we try and gain this within ourselves. Build a relationship, mashallah. You know, if you take this part of the world, this is a very, very rich history. Very rich history. Allah preserved this part of the world, and now the world, the knowledge of this deen, every time it keeps shifted. It was in the Arab world, it began there from Hijaz, and then from Hijaz it went to Persia. The knowledge went to Persia. Lot of scholars were Persians. The hadith, Imam Bukhari and all of them, it's all the Persian region. And then the knowledge shifted from there onwards to this part. Allah revived this Quran and Wahi in this era, the last 100 years. You know, there was every time different. Allah revived it from this part of the world. And you go any part of the world, you can go to Europe, you can go to America, South America, North America, everywhere. Alhamdulillah. The ulamas who were taught in this part of the world are only leading there. They established there. The deen went there. So Allah made it a means. So this soil is a very rich soil. Has a big history. We have a big legacy. We are not second to anyone in this region. And we have a great future. Remember, we means deen of Allah. And as long as we be a part of it, we and our children and our progeny is going to have that great future. So to be part of it, our biggest strength is the Quran. Inna li kulli ummatin sharafa. I'll conclude with this. Wa sharafa ummati al-Quran. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every ummah, every nation, they have something which they call that as their identity, their honor. My ummah's honor and identity, respect is Quran. Quran means, again I'm getting back, revelation, that is the Quran, Sunnah, Seerah and the Quran together. When we have that together and we learn that, and it has to be instilled from young days at birth. Everyone, there should be a dream that every member of this ummah, we must at least, you know, learn, understand the Quran, Seerah. We have to have that. You know, when it comes to Shari'i Fiqh, you know, to give ruling, that's a different story. You know, when you learn Quran, you don't, that's the problem. Sometimes what happened, we start becoming faqih. No, we are not, you need to be trained to do that. You need to be trained to do that. Just because you know Arabic, you doesn't mean you become a mufti. Just you learn, no, that is a different field. You know, rules and regulation different. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahabas, everyone understood Quran. But you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says what? Afqahu ummati, the biggest mufti. Who is the biggest mufti amongst our sahabas? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So many sahabas. Rasulullah says, Mu'adh ibn Jabal wa afqahu. If you want to learn, if you want to understand how to implement this law, he didn't say go and ask Abu Bakr. Say go to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. So that doesn't mean that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu doesn't know Quran. No, he knows it. He understands it. But ruling what is halal, what is haram, what is sunnah, what is, you know, makruh, that is a different field. Everyone is not expert. If you come to me, I will say no. I'm not going to touch that. Because it's a field on its own. So inshallah, let us try and understand and build the relationship. And we, by building the relationship, we become inshallah a better nation. Individually, as a family, community and ummah. Jazakumullah khair. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
5 minutes.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Rabbana laka alhamd. Kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultani. Subhanaka la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد صلاه تنجينا بها من جميع الاحوال والافات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها اقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياه وبعد الممات انك على كل شيء قدير اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المسلمين والمسلمات ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وعاجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا واغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في كل مكان خاصة في فلسطين اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من كيد الغاصبين الظالمين المحتلين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين
انشاءاللہ اتوار کے دن بعد نماز فجر بھی ہماری اسی مسجد میں شیخ کا خطاب ہوگا گزارش ہے کہ اس میں بھی شریک ہوں کل صبح بعد نماز فجر مسجد الفاروق علم اسٹون میں خطاب ہوگا اور کل بعد نماز مغرب مودی مسجد میں شیخ کا خطاب ہوگا روپر تشریف